Quality base here. The Eagle has landed.
Worldview Truth. This is Randy Osborne with Worldview Truth, and we are in a studio today. This is a studio that I'm not used to, but we have had the privilege of having Freedom Fellowship and Israel Hall. In fact, we did a podcast a few months ago with Israel. And we're here in the studio today with a very special guest. It's Luke Hilton. And Luke, I want you to tell a little bit about your organization. In fact, if you look in the background here, you'll see Israel Guys, and that is your organization. And I want you to tell, first of all, just a little bit about the organization, how you got involved in this, and then we're going to talk about a little bit about Israel.
Sure. So the Israel Guys is actually a media initiative of Hayovel, which is a nonprofit ministry originally from the United States, but we're based out of Israel now. And we bring Christians from all over the world to volunteer in service projects for the Jewish people in Judea and Samaria, which is the biblical heartland of Israel. So we have volunteer programs, tours to Israel, and we bring people to do agricultural work. You know, we're harvesting olives, grapes, planting trees, pruning vines, helping anything that the Jewish people need in those areas. And our goal is to just bless and serve the Jewish people with our physical actions, our hands, you know, putting our feet in Israel. Making a statement by actually being there and standing alongside the Jewish people. Especially now, since October 7th, we feel like it's more important than ever.
Let's talk a little bit about October 7th. October 7th, ironically, is my birthday.
Wow.
And it's a birthday I'll never forget. It's something that it was one of those moments, those 9/11 moments in my life. And I know it was probably in your life and many people. But I want you to tell a little bit about your organization, how it really shifted as a result of October 7th. And you were actually in country in Israel on October 7th. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. So I woke up on the morning of October 7th and, you know, came out of left field for everybody. You know, complete shock and surprise when we finally grasped what was going on. I mean, it took days to fully realize what actually happened on October 7th. And through the next couple of months, just taking a deep dive into the stories, meeting people, friends of mine who were fighting on the front lines, friends getting injured and people getting killed every day, and friends of mine who were part of the burial society on October 7th. And I don't need to go into the graphic details, but the things that they described, it's the first time I've ever known that the truth was worse than what the media reported. You know, normally it's the other way around, but this is for the first time ever, it was much worse than what the news said. You know, on October 7th, Israelis and Jews from all over the world came back to Israel. A lot of people left Israel. You know, we felt like we were there to stay, even during wartime. And we asked ourselves, what's our part? Like, what do we do? How do we stand? And after, you know, a day or two, we realized that the Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria were being overlooked because all of the aid and equipment was going to the IDF and on the front lines of Gaza and Lebanon. And Judea and Samaria, there's 1.5 million Arabs surrounding 500,000 Jews, 200 Jewish communities and farms. They were last in line to get equipment and supplies as far as security goes. So we were able to start a project called Operation Itai. To date, raised over $3.5 million to bring protective vests, helmets, flashlights, drones, all non-arms type equipment, but protective gear for civilians, part of civilian security teams in the Jewish communities and farms, to make sure that October 7th didn't happen again in those areas, and if something did happen, that they would be protected.
So let me just make sure I understand this and get this clarified. So the war happens. Everybody's called up. All the soldiers, all the families, they're all called up to war, and it leaves the women and children, a lot of the women and children and whatever in these communities, pretty much without any protection at all.
Right.
And so what you all did is said, hey, we've got to do something. And basically, you started supplying protective type of gear.
Yeah.
Drones, great idea.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the biggest needs at the beginning. We were just buying drones off the shelves in Israel because, you know, you can put a drone up in the air and it can do the work of 10 guys. You know, if you were to put 10 guys on a security watch, you can put a drone up, fly it anywhere you want, and see intruders. And actually, some of the drones we gave out, we got a report back that they caught two terrorists trying to infiltrate a Jewish community
wow.
on a drone, and they were able to apprehend them before they got anywhere close to the community.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. Another guy we gave a protective vest to, he said he had been fighting Hamas terrorists. He's part of a civilian security team, fighting terrorists without a bulletproof vest. We were able to supply him with that, as we were, you know, hundreds and now up to several thousand
and you've,
others.
You've, to date, you've had 3 million? Is that what you said?
Over $3.5 million, yeah.
Over $3.5 million. That
right,
is awesome.
Yeah.
And real quickly, just before we continue this, give us your website of where people can donate to this.
Sure, yeah. It's just serveisrael.com is our main ministry website. You see the logo for the Israel Guys. The Israel Guys is a media network. We
gotcha.
Put out videos and podcasts every single day.
Okay.
And it's just the media initiative of our main ministry, which is Hayuvel, and that's serveisrael.com.
So you were in country at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And can you just describe, and you don't have to go in graphic detail. I showed a video on our podcast a few months ago. And this is on Rumble. You'll find this on Rumble. You also will find it on all your audio podcasts, any podcast, your favorite podcast, you can find it, worldviewtruth.org. But very specifically, I played a video, and it came from the IDF, and it was horrific. It was horrific. And you know, I thought I had a stomach for that, and I didn't. It was one of the worst things that I think I've ever seen and or played. But can you just kind of give just a brief description of that day of what happened?
No, I mean, it was unprecedented, the worst tragedy to befall the Jewish people since the Holocaust. And, you know, Hamas did something that they're not known for. They got organized and they were well prepared, well funded, and they surprised Israel. And now we don't know all the details. Obviously, there was intelligence failures, and we'll find those out at some point. But first, they jammed Israel's communications. Then they took out the communication towers along the Gaza border fence there. They took out the IDF military post on the crossing. Then they cut the fence. Then they invaded Israel by land, by sea even, and by air. They were flying in on these, like, you know, ultraviolet kind of kites.
Yeah, we saw some of that.
Thousands of terrorists invaded, entered every kibbutz and community they could, including and also the Nova Music Festival, and they slaughtered 1,200 Israelis.
Wow.
Took 200 and something, 235 or so captive, 5,000 injured. And if, you know, for Americans to relate to, we think of 9/11.
Right, right.
Israel's such a tiny country that number is equivalent to 40,000 Americans being killed in one day, which is so much even worse than 9/11. Like, this is something that has affected the Jewish nation. There's not a single person in Israel who doesn't know someone or have a family member or friend who hasn't been killed, taken hostage, wounded at the very minimum. I mean, everybody's affected by it.
Right. Well, after that day, the world came to Israel's aid from what the perspective was. And I remember on my one of my podcasts, it was probably about 3 days after this happened, I went on a podcast and I said, our own government is probably not going to support this very long.
Yeah.
And it's come to the point where it appears like that the world is turning their back on Israel.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, the U.S., the U.S. has supplied arms to Israel. They have supplied things, but there are some supplies right now on hold.
Right. Yeah.
And tell me about the concern or what those arms do you think that could help Israel and go ahead and defeat Hamas?
Yeah, I mean, as we know now, Israel's invaded Rafah. It's the last stronghold, Hamas stronghold, with 4 Hamas battalions that must be defeated if we're going to eradicate Hamas, which
Right.
has been the goal for Israel since day one. Israel invaded Rafah, and Biden responded by saying, if you're going to invade Rafah, I'm going to withhold this arms shipment of precision weaponry. Now, Israel's responding now, and they're saying, well, if you're taking away our precision weaponry, that leaves us with weaponry that's not so precise, which means that if we have to use this in our fight against Hamas, then more civilians might be killed. Because Israel does everything they can to avoid civilian casualties.
Right.
But when Hamas uses their women and children as human shields, then there are casualties of war. And now Biden is saying, conditioning these arms shipments, and it's only hurting the effort more. And as Israel should, they're saying, we're not basing our operations and our directives off of what other nations in the world think. We have our own goals, which is to protect our homeland, protect the Jewish state, and the goal since day one has been eradicate Hamas so that October 7th does not happen again. And they have said their goal is, Hamas has said the goal is to have 100 more October 7th.
So just to put it in perspective, first of all, those arms were specifically, the legislature passed that. It went through and it was signed by the president. So that is actually law. Those arms shipments are law right now. And I'm just thinking philosophically, if one of our border nations invaded the United States, would we take the advice of, let's say, Great Britain?
Right.
On calling a peace truce, or will we try to defeat that enemy?
Well, there's photos. When Iran attacked Israel, there's photos of missiles and bombs in the air over top of the Knesset building, which is Israel's parliament, and over top of the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem.
So they had every intention on...
Imagine if there was those same missiles above the White House or Capitol Hill.
Right.
Or any other such site, like what do you think America's response would be? And do you think they'd be taking advice from other nations? It's just, it's ridiculous. Former Ambassador David Freeman went on Fox News after the Iran attack and he said, if a mafia gang had shot 20 policemen in D.C., but every single bullet had been caught by a bulletproof vest, nobody would respond and say, don't chase the bad guys, don't go arrest them, don't take them, you know, don't retaliate. Nobody was killed. Take the win. You were shot 20 times, but nobody died. So don't. Right. So just take the win. Like, that's ridiculous, right?
So I heard you say something. I just want to catch it. A lot of people are saying this. A lot of people are saying that Iran, it was, they basically lobbed a few missiles over, sent some drones over, gave everybody notice about it, and it was doing it. It was a PR campaign for their own people. Letting their own people look, we see what we just did.
Right.
Do you believe that?
So initially, I thought that too, but after a few days, it came out from Israel's intelligence. They said that's absolutely not the case. And when you think about it, just from a common sense perspective, myself included, you know, you realize you don't send ballistic missiles thousands of miles away, drones that take 7 hours to get there. You don't send these type of weaponry just to create a show of force.
Yeah.
They had every intention of destroying as much of Israel as possible and killing as many people as possible. 100% sure. Our team was in Israel, and I was seeing the messages live from our team. They were hearing the bombs in the air. The Arabs in the surrounding communities were so excited that Iran was attacking that they all but charged up the hills to the Jewish communities and attacked them as well. And if the IDF hadn't, you know, responded within minutes, they would have.
Right.
This was a full-on attack.
So you mentioned that some of those missiles were targeted toward the Knesset, which is actually kind of like pretty much
like Capitol Hill.
Like Capitol Hill of Israel.
Congress or Senate.
So they were targeting key locations.
100%, yeah. 100%, okay. Yeah.
Well, that clears that up because a lot of people would say wasn't the case.
Right.
And they're saying, you know, well, United States and or Israel really shouldn't respond to Iran as a result of that.
Right,
and,
yeah. Biden said, take the win. And then, like, again, it's just like, why would...
That's not a win.
Yeah, why would Israel take advice from another country to not respond to a, you know, international attack on their country?
Right. Here's something else I noticed, and I'm in my lifetime, I have never seen this. There's two issues I want to bring up. Mm-hmm. One of them is, in my lifetime, I've never seen Christians and the Jewish community work together. I've never seen that. It's something that is in, and I think all groups are saying, wait a second. If we don't work together with this and defeat this enemy, it's going to be a divide and conquer issue.
Right.
I want to mention one other thing, and then I want you to respond to that. The second thing I want to mention this: I did a extensive, and I haven't talked to Luke off the air on this. I'm going to drop this on you. So get ready.
Good.
I've done a study on very specifically on denominations on what we would call Christian denominations. Mm-hmm. Did a pretty extensive study on that. And this is what I found out. Of all the mainstream, mainline denominations here in the U.S., 25% of those denominations actually support Israel.
Okay.
And that is something I didn't know.
That's news to me as well. Yeah.
Some of it, a big portion of those people that are supporting Israel, it's because of, and I'm going to say doctrinal issues. The other small group, it's not a doctrinal issue, but they still are supportive and those churches are. But that study came from, I literally went to the websites of the denominations,
right,
is how I did this study. And I want you to respond to both of those. I know that surprised you, but it's just...
Right, yeah. No, so I've been working in Israel for about 16 years. Our organization's started 20 years ago. And I can attest to the fact that there are more Jews and Christians working together now against a common cause, a good cause, and against a common enemy. And one of my friends in Israel said just a month ago, he said, make sure people in America know the same people who are coming after us are coming after them.
That's right.
Especially if you believe in the Bible, believe in God, and you stand with Israel, then we have the same enemy. You know, they always say the little Satan and the big Satan, Israel, then America. You know, that's what Iran says. That's what Hamas says. What's it? Everybody says.
Yeah.
But now, and I'll mention the Keep God's Land movement, which we're a part of, keepgodsland.com. It's just a movement of Jews and Christians coming together. It's not one particular organization. Everybody banding together to say, we are standing together to advocate for Israel to keep God's land. Specifically God's land, because God gave it to the Jewish people to caretake. But it's up to the rest of us to, you know, make sure that they hang on to God's land, because the world's trying to give it away. And so I've never seen unprecedented, we're talking politicians, pastors, from all, you know, so many different denominations and circles, Orthodox rabbis from Israel, from America, all coming together now and pushing forward issues, policy, media, education, so many things, conferences, events, and we're seeing real progress. And it's just exciting to know that we're uniting against a common enemy and for a common cause. I can't say I'm surprised that only 25% of Christian denominations support Israel, because I've seen some polls recently about support for Israel declining in America and specifically in the evangelical community.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too much into this issue either, but I will mention that, like, we're even seeing a movement among conservatives.
That's right.
Turning against Israel. And it's a strange thing, because we're used to the other side turning against Israel.
That's right.
But then we see, like, our own people coming against Israel. And again, I won't name any names. You can guess, you know, who out there in the news network world is turning against Israel. But it's not just a liberal or conservative thing anymore. And so I think to bring these two issues together, we have to, as my friends in Israel say, we're all people of the book. If we're people of the book, meaning the Bible, and we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then we have to band together and to stand together.
That's right.
And they're ready. And so many of us are ready, and I think it's more important for more and more people to get on board with this.
Right. Well, having said that, I want you to tell a little bit. You've got an event coming up in Nashville.
Yeah.
I want you to tell the backstory of this event, because I've seen a lot of stuff on this. In fact, you were on Fox.
Yeah, this morning, actually, 4:15 a.m.
Oh.
So I had an early start.
I didn't see it.
Yeah. So we have an Israel summit May 20th through 22nd, which is very soon, next week in Nashville, Tennessee. Just last week, less than 10 days before the event, we got a call from the venue, the Sonesta Hotel. It's public knowledge, you know, it's in the news, telling us they were dropping our contract, including our event space, our catering, all of our guest rooms.
10 days?
At the hotel, less than 9 days before the event started. And they said it's because they received, you know, they felt pressure from pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters and anti-Israel activists, and therefore they said that they didn't think it was safe for them or for our group at all. Now, we've always been committed to make sure it was secure. We talked to them about increasing security, et cetera, et cetera. And we were moving forward with that. You know, we'll work with the police departments, we'll work with private security, whatever we need to do. And then out of the blue, canceled and dropped our event. Now, since then, there's been a PR campaign all over the, you know, national, local news, We've been scrambling to find a new event. Also, we just feel like this is a this is a potential violation of freedom of religion and freedom of speech in America, because you have pro-Palestinian Hamas protests happening for a month on college campuses, and then all of a sudden you have one pro-Israel event and it's canceled. Like, that feels like a violation of, you know, our freedom of religion in America, you know. And if you can't hold a pro-Israel event in Nashville, Tennessee, who knows what's next?
That's
in America, right?
That's right.
So we feel like it's important that the public knows about this so that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
And so long story short is we were scrambling to find a new venue. Just yesterday, Dave Ramsey gave us a call and he said, come to my event center just south of Nashville. He said, I'm moving my own event.
Oh, wow.
And I'm getting so that you guys can have the event center. And then we asked him, we said, do you want this to like just us to just move forward with the event? We'll have the attendees. We don't need to publicize it. And he wrote back and he said, no, I want the world to know Dave Ramsey stands with my friends from Israel, and I want to make sure they're safe, and that therefore I'm inviting them to my event center.
That is
so
awesome.
God's doing amazing things. We're going to have over 500 people coming together in Nashville next week.
Are you open to advertise it or put it out there?
Yeah, theisraelguys.com/summit. If you get this before the 20th, we're keeping registration open because we think it's very important for as many people as possible to come together right now.
That's right. Israel, say it again.
Theisraelguys.com/summit. You can sign up for the conference starting Monday night.
Definitely.
May,
if you're
May
in the
20th.
Area or if you're not in the area, go to that website and sign up. This is important. This
Very
is
important.
Important.
We're bringing a bunch of speakers from Israel, from Judea and Samaria. We're talking pioneers. Caroline Glick, member of Knesset Oad Tal, Yishai Fleischer, Arya Abramowitz, a Yair Levy, an Israeli artist. And so it's going to be an important event, a historic event, I think.
This is Luke Hilton, and he's with The Israel Guys. This is awesome. This is exciting. It's kind of scary times, but it's also exciting times.
It is, for sure, yeah.
Because, you know, we have read the end of the book, so we know the outcome. But it's our job as Christians, as conservatives, to do everything we can to support our allies in Israel. And I appreciate everything you're doing, and thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. We appreciate it, yeah.
Thank you. This is Randy Osborne with Worldview Truth. Until next time, God bless. Worldview Truth.